Hello from What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and with Mr. Sankey about to enter the Chunnel in search of a holiday home, where are my two hot property podcasters? So firstly, he's cashed up with enough francs to buy his dream chateau, which no doubt will be in walking distance of a vineyard or two to quench his statistical thirst. It's Sam.
Bonjour.
And also, who needs bricks and mortar when you've got four wheels, the open road, and a reasonably priced tarpaulin? It's Dennis.
All right.
How are we, lads?
Oh, happy that normal service has been resumed.
Dear. Your pack, Sam? Ready for your big trip?
I'm a bloody hell. No. Do that Friday morning. We're leaving Friday afternoon.
Can I just point out, I've got a headache. And I'm not sure what it's from. I'm not sure if I'm ill or it's the fact we've gone back to normal service at the Halliwell Jones. Or just you two on the screen. I'm not sure which one it is.
It could be. I mean, I'm about to tell you that obviously we've got tackle bags. Normal service has been resumed. And I've been digging a pond in the back garden.
Oh.
And we've got a pond now. It's not quite finished yet. But I'm hoping to find a bit of nature around the pond.
You could put different sort of Warrington players in it, couldn't you? Like Chris Rudd. He was
drink water, clearly.
Yeah. It'd be a bit murky, yeah. I think. Might need a pump for that.
You wouldn't drink that,
Shitty silt.
Sam, you got anyone you want to put in my pond? Anyone to put in my pond?
No, I just wonder, is it a nature pond, or is it going to be one for big, massive koi carp?
Oh, no, it's nature. Nature pond.
Steve Roach.
Oh yes. Yeah. He's good at this, isn't he?
Yeah.
I've got nothing else.
Schwein Toad. You remember him?
Jack Fish.
We always bring up Jack Fish, don't we? Every time. Pull that one out.
So new section next week. Dennis's pond. Which Warrington player are we putting in it this week?
Excellent.
Jingle?
Oh God, I've got a headache. We're not doing this next week because Sam's away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I'll get the jingle ready.
We're doing a micropod in 2 weeks when he's handed over his money to some French landlord, never to be seen again. Yeah. That's what we're waiting for. So, be good. Okay, let's review the Hull KR game. The team was Dufty, Foulis, Ty, Lindop, Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater. The front row stayed the same in Yates, Powell and Vaughan. Nicholson and Holroyd and Curry made up the back three. Interchange bench was Musgrove, Crowther, Walker, and Wood made his way for Bateman to make his debut. Here's the highlights.
I'm really on the ropes this time. I've been fighting all my life for you.
Whitbread, a stride or two away from where he wants to be. Parcell goes out to Sue, and Sue will reach the score. The game's opening try. Barely 6 minutes played, and it's the Robins in celebratory style.
I'm here to admit that you were my medicine.
Dufty now, looking for a skip, and he gets them all the way to Williams, and Williams back to Dufty, and Dufty to Nicholson, and Nicholson now to Ty, and look at the desperation of that Rovers defence. Three, four times they'd open them up, and it closed again, but Warrington still have it. Williams now, kicks it all the way left, but it's an easy take for me.
Thank you for the happiest year of my life.
I've made my decision.
Listen to this. But we heard the explanation there.
I'm here to admit that you were my medicine. Oh, love, I couldn't quit.
Drink water. Back to Dufty. Dufty throws it wide. There's the pass. There's the moment. And there's the try. They've been hunting all night. Ashton finally delivers from a wonderful cut-out ball. And Warrington are on the board and in the game.
So wake me up when they build that time machine. I wanna go.
Minchella throws it wide. Lewis sticks it up in the air. There's a test here, both an attack and defence. The ball's been gone to ground. It's play on, says the referee. And Mikey Lewis on the end of it might just have scored a hugely important try. It has been confirmed.
Best year of my life. Thank you for the happiest year of my life.
May searching, flicks it away. Batchelor onto Hicku. Hicku tries to straighten up Lindop, and Hicku with the try that wins the game. What a night for Hart Kingston Rovers. Petr Hicku, the former Warrington man, scores the try that absolutely confirms a massive, massive Hart Kingston Rovers win.
Final score, Warrington 4, Hull Kingston Rovers 22. Just the one try for Ashton. Foulis missed the conversion. Attendance 12,102. Were you there, Sam? Were you there?
I was. Of course I was there. And frustratingly, so were 12,000 other people, as you've just said. Biggest crowd.
12,101 other people.
Yeah. So biggest crowd for several weeks, all looking forward to this new Warrington, all with the hopes built.
Yes.
Indeed.
Well, we know nobody will listen to this podcast now anyway, because we lost, so it doesn't really matter what you say.
I got up on time. I had a phone call from Italy from my daughter at 4 a.m., So I was wide awake. So I got into, which was a bit of a shame because I had to watch the sky, like, you know, build up. Oh, was enough to put me back to bed. But yeah, off we went. I mean, right from the start, Sam, I'd have to say that first sort of opening 5 minutes, they seemed to take control and finished it off with a try, didn't they? Just walked in, so to speak.
Yeah. I'd like to actually go back just before that. Though my new catchphrase, you're right, first 5 minutes, they did come out of the blocks well. Mm. However, something happened that I felt set the tone for us for the rest of the half.
This is his boyfriend, Dennis. This is his boyfriend. Here we go.
I'm not sure.
3 minutes and 57 seconds. Williams with a short pass to Curry, 20 metres out from their line, dropped it.
Oh.
And then one play later, we gave a soft penalty. So we look like we're going to build some momentum. We make an error. We compound it with a second one by giving a penalty. And as you say, they went downfield and scored a try straight off.
What did you make of it, Dennis? I mean, you used to be a prop in your day.
Yeah.
I'll come on to what I think in a sec, but.
Well, it was, I mean, it was a big man up against a small man, wasn't it? I mean, that was the general feel of it. But already, like Sam said, there was a few signs that they made quite a lot of meters and already looked to be dominating in the forwards for some, and that probably doesn't even show on paper, but it just felt that way that they were already dominating the forwards. And yeah, there you go, crash over the line. Can't deal with a big fella.
Mm. I mean, Warrington took the ball up, and these stats change a bit. You go onto the Super League website, and occasionally you go on one day and you go on the next, and it's changed by 10. But the ones I have are Warrington had 206 carries in comparison to Rovers' 180. So we've had 26 more carries than them. However, post-contact meters, and Sam made a point of this after the match. I think he circled it and sent it through on WhatsApp. Post-contact meters for Wire, 669, Rovers 737. So 68-meter difference off 26 less carries, which summed it up. I spoke to my dad a couple of nights ago, and he was straight on the, you know, straight down the narrative of, we only had one recognisable prop out there in size in Vaughan. And as much as Yates topped the tackle count and he made over 106 metres, Alan London Sr. doesn't think for 1 second he's a prop. He's a loose forward. And that's where he should be playing, or, you know, in the second row. So we turn out on the field with one prop, totally oversized in comparison to them. We've got a back three that aren't really running their weight at the moment. You put Holroyd in there, who just doesn't make, as brave as he is and as much as he tackles, and he's got that nice little run now where he bursts onto the ball close to the line. He nearly did it again this week. I think they missed him out this week. And we shouldn't point out Sam, he's the dummy runner, because we've had a letter of complaint.
What is he?
Is there, you're not a dummy runner?
He's an optional runner.
He's not big enough in a pack of that size. And then you go to the bench, and again, only one prop on the bench, because Crowther, Walker and Bateman aren't props. And Musgrove had one of his days, didn't he, where he didn't really do anything. So as much as the blame was also thrown at Williams, I do think that he was behind a beaten pack, just a pack that was just too small. And he's trying to fit everyone in, or maybe that's all he had, but trying to squeeze everyone in. He's got his mate on the bench who's underperforming, who he needs to drop. And we've put in Yates, so we have to find a position for Yates. And it's probably he needs to go into the second row, and one of those three needs to drop out.
I've got a stat. Sam went back and counted stat. And in the first, up to their second try, this was, usually you see plays of the ball in the opposition's 20. I looked at how many times there was a play of the ball in the opposition's half. Warrington only had 6 occasions when we played the ball in the Hull KR half in the first quarter of the game. Hull KR, 21.
Well, just dominantly on the front foot.
Yeah, and it was a finish of their sets as well. We had, I've already mentioned, in the 4th minute, we got there and Williams, a short pass to Curry, we put it down. In the 13th minute, we got the ball and Williams tried to put an attacking kick in. He hit the Hull KR defender. It bounced back and they picked the ball up nearly on halfway. Nicholson, in the 22nd minute, dropped the ball second tackle 20 metres out. These were our few chances in that period. And each, not once did we make them come off their own line, as opposed to them. Their first attacking set, try. The second attacking set, they ran the ball in the last tackle and handed it over 9 metres away from our line. Third was a kick to Hall. He knocked on attempting to score. Fourth, Hewlis takes it and he's tackled 8 metres out. And the fifth, a kick to the corner and May scores a try.
I like this new format. Are we going through tackle by tackle now? Is this the episode that we go on for the full 80 minutes?
24 it's called, isn't it? We'll call this 80 minutes. Yeah. That's what we'll do.
But the difference was, each time they finished, they got into a position, they put pressure on us, and the 3 occasions we got into a position, we released the pressure by not completing the set.
A huge difference in the kicking ability as well. Every bomb they put up, they contested. You know, every time Foulis is under pressure, and he did a really good job. For some reason, we decided to kick to Burgess all night long. We didn't once try and kick to Ryan Hall, who, let's face it, he's past his best and probably will struggle to actually jump into the air. But we just keep kicking it to Burgess. But no pressure. It's this lazy, lackadaisical kick from Drinkwater. It's like he's almost having it going to the shops to buy some sweets the way he kicks it. He's just not There's no aggression about it at all. He just, it's like a little robot, just puts it up. It goes up relatively high, but not too high. Very steady and conservative. And then all the backs just stand off 10 metres and let Burgess catch it every time. I find
too
that
much of that now.
It's poor coaching that. It needs to change. It's,
do you not think players are always second guessing contesting a ball nowadays because they're going to get pinged straight away?
But not Burgess. Burgess must have thought, "Oh, this is a nice easy game for me." Just poor.
I was just going to say, coaching that the other way though, their second try, they clearly identified that Dufty's not that great under a high bomb, and they kicked towards it, and he just didn't get anywhere near it. And I think that's where Sam Burgess started to question at the end in his commentary about they wanted it more and stuff like that. It just felt like that when that high ball goes up. We're not very good under that.
But he also doesn't want it because there's a whole heap of big boppers coming down to smash him, whereas we're not. We're like, let him get his feet back on the floor before we just tackle him. It's very aggressive compared to just passive in the way that they kick the ball.
Ours was more passive, but I also think it's from where you are kicking the ball.
Yeah.
Mikey Lewis is kicking the ball from 20 metres out. Josh Drinkwater's kicking the ball from halfway. One's an attacking kick. One's a defensive kick almost. Just put it up, play it, as you said, use the word conservative earlier. It's a conservative, just get it down there and we'll see what happens next time type of kick.
Let's talk about Drinkwater, eh?
Oh,
I mean, they can't re-sign him, can they? Like, he's just a name on a team sheet doing the bare minimum every week at the moment.
Do you not think he's like, I mean, when you think about other players that we've never had that two combination. We've always had one very good one and then somebody who's like the supporting role. We've never had two outstanding halfbacks together.
We've had the likes of Monaghan and Breers.
Were they playing together a lot?
Bishop and Gregory, Langer and Walters for about 2 weeks. It's been
that was a long time.
Holden, what about Holden and John Woods?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Super League era here. I mean, like, you know, we have Widdup, we bring Widdup in, and we bring that one special one in, but we never back it up with another person.
Well, didn't we have Widdup and Williams?
No, did we?
Oh, you briefly. I think Monaghan ended up playing most of his rugby at nine for us. He was signed as we thought was a halfback. And didn't it mostly Myler and Breers during that period?
I just beg a belief that we're just rolling along. I mean, I'm sure they've already. I'm sure Burgess has worked it out already, and he's working with the best he's got. Because what's the alternative if you don't put Drinkwater in? The other lad's coming back from injury, who I don't think's the answer. He's too small. He's going to get injured again.
Deck Patton's still available. I think.
Riley Dean's been over to Australia to make his way in the NRL. He's come back.
Yeah.
So there's a few
options.
Is he
still on the books?
Don't know. There was one moment, and I haven't watched it back, so maybe I'm wrong, but there seemed to be one moment where the waters parted for Drinkwater to score.
Yes.
And we all went, go on. And by the time he decided, oh, there's a gap, it was closed before he got to the line. But was it just me, or were we all like, go on, like, there's the gap, Josh, off you go.
What struck me was the difference in approach to the line between Lindop the week earlier, when the two covering players were coming across and he put his head down and just dove in for the line, and Drinkwater, who appeared to try and go over the line, stood up and fall rather than dive at the feet to score.
Just one second. I'm just going to go over to Susie Dent. Just one second. What's that, Susie?
Dove, dive.
Dove's not a word. Okay. Yeah, I'll let him know.
They're releasing the doves. You sound right quite down actually today, Rob. You're all right.
I've got a headache. I've told you, I've got a headache.
I'm not down
because I think we've painted over a few cracks for a few weeks. I mean, some bright spark on this podcast last week said we win all nine. I mean, I don't know who he was. I've fucking knob he was.
Is that what's giving you a headache?
I think there's a few. Look, it's a good squad when we've got everyone in the right holes, but.
Orange alert.
Caviar detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
Drinkwater worries me because he's offering sweet FA. And as much as, God love him, Nicholson is a brave warrior. Sorry, not Nicholson. Holroyd is a brave warrior. He's just getting thrown around like a rag doll. I mean, he's metres again, 39 metres. He's trying to get to ground as quickly as he possibly can before he gets pulled back three. I mean, if you're the opposing second row forward, you must be thinking, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
He'll be all right once he's been out in the off-season and he's put a couple of stone on. You know, it'd be like the old days, he'll come back
once
about...
Once he's gone to Wigan, and been given the magic pills, he'll be all right, won't
he? Yeah, yeah.
If he had your time again, or if Burgess had his time again, do you think he might have gone with Fitzgibbon and King, both coming back from injury, both in the squad, so supposedly fit?
Fitzgibbon, how long is Fitzgibbon out for? Like, you know, we've all been kept in the dark on that one, haven't we? Fitzgibbon, every week he's nearly ready to play and then we go another week. I mean, how many weeks has he been out for now? That shoulder is not good. And he's not going to play him at London. He's having another week off at London because he's got this fragile shoulder. So, I mean, it would be wonderful to get Fitzgibbon in there, bar Holroyd. Why have we let Bullock go on loan? He's another one who's shining. Why do they go on loan and suddenly become enjoy
themselves?
Because
we've had to pay for Bateman now, haven't we? That's what's going on.
He's got to... And also, as much as I like Musgrove when he plays... But
he's hit and miss, isn't he? He's hit and miss.
Wouldn't you be better to say, right, let's play... Here's your chance, Wood. Put Wood and Vaughan in the front row because we were missing Harrison. Move Yates to 13 and drop Holroyd. Wouldn't that have been a stronger pack to, when you know you're playing such a big pack? As much as I think he's galvanised the team, there's no question about it. His man management skills are 9 out of 10, but I think his tactical awareness is a little bit off the ball. We've seen it with an administrational error when we had, what did we have, the wrong name on a team sheet? Heads will roll. No, you look at the team sheet, you're the coach. At Wembley, we were outdone on tactics, and this game again, we were clearly outdone by their size and their tactical ability of their coach.
Do you want to get some paracetamol now? Jesus Christ. Hey?
Can I highlight something which I think would have papered over the cracks? And I've watched it umpteen times now, and I can't understand...
Wallpaper.
Why wouldn't... Wallpaper.
How many is umpteen, Mr. Statistics?
Do you want me to ask Susie Dent?
I lost count at 24 and I still had another hour of watching it. That's just pull that out of the air.
Yeah, well done.
39 minutes, 53 seconds on the clock. The Hooters about to go for half time. We move the ball to our favoured left, out to Dufty, who makes a bit of a break, 35, 40 metres out, with two men on his outside, offering a 2-1 overlap. And he kicks the ball. And we could do, it looked like a walking try. And I don't know what he did or why he did what he did. And that would have papered over the cracks because we go in 10-4 or if he kicks a conversion, 10-6 in a half where we felt like we were dominated. But in the last 10 minutes of it, just starting to build something.
I like the backs. I've not got an issue with the backs. I think the backs were on the back foot. And I know occasionally we do stuff up when we run downfield, don't we? But I thought the backs all worked well, or do work well. What's Nicholson? What's up with Nicholson? Well, he just seems to have fallen on by the wayside. He's not... He looked immense last year. Looked like he was really coming into his own. And his stats again, 31 metres. I think their back three all ran over 100 metres. 31 meters. I don't understand. Again,
are we going to talk about how well Hull KR played? I mentioned about their speed, and I think that was evident in the fact that we were getting we didn't look deep enough, and we didn't have an opportunity to put the players on. And I think everybody was getting frustrated. It didn't look like that the halfbacks were getting the chances to, you know, run, you know, or people running those option lines and all that business.
Well, we were on the back foot.
Yeah, and I think their speed out of the line really does make a difference, and we struggled with it. We had no idea. And at one point, I remember thinking, the only thing that really does stand out is when Williams was at the line, they stood off a bit. They weren't too sure what to do because, like, you know, they were worried about what he did. And that looked like the only opportunity for us to actually, you know, generate an opportunity, generate any kind of scoring chance.
Yeah. Overall, they suffocated us defensively, didn't they? In a not dissimilar way to what we'd done in the two previous weeks against Wigan and St Helens. Mm. They came out the blocks quick. They laid down the mark. They got on top. And whenever there was a 50-50 type challenge, they seemed to come off it just slightly better, 52-40, 48, 55, 45, whatever. And they just kept it going. And once they got ahead, they didn't really look like they were going to concede the lead.
They marshalled Williams and Duffy very well. Hicku and Lewis didn't miss a tackle on those two. You know, where other weeks they just managed to get round and they're away. Lewis was all over Williams. I mean, the tenacity of Lewis compared to Drinkwater. You look at those two, you know, he's wanting to get his hands on the ball all the time, isn't he? Constantly.
Yeah, but who's the other halfback for OKR?
Tyrone May.
How did he get a visa?
I think the mere fact is that, you know, you never get a team where you've got that combination. There's always one standout halfback and the other one is playing a supporting role. Yeah, all right, Tyrone May's probably a different class to Drinkwater. But I want to just focus in on this there, which for me killed it off, their try in the second half with Michael Lewis putting the kick up again. We were, after that, you might as well, you know, we were written off. But if you look at that, Thewlis went up for it and he was beaten, I think, by Hall knocking it back. But then Duffy comes up with like a really pathetic attempt to tackle. And I think, Sam, I want you to record this. We're going to call them Duffy Flufties, where he obviously fucks up. And I'm being polite. And if we can have a statistic every week on Duffy Flufties, because really, if you're going to, good players, if they make a mistake, they usually make up for it. And fair enough, Duffy does more often than not. But how many Flufties make we need something to rhyme with that.
A try. Yeah, how many good things does he have to do to make up for a Flufty?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a Flufty week or a Duffy week? That's what we need to have.
Like that. Yeah.
Do you want me to dust off that box of Duffy merchandise? You know, the Duffy badges when he was, the Duffy Club. I'll dust them off and see. I mean, we've gone on for quite a while about this. Let's have a listen to Sam Burgess and hear his thoughts. Anyone that can't speak Antipodean Yorkshire, translation courtesy of Hal.
They were really good, like, really, really good.
They really were good, like, really, really good.
You know, and it's great. I mean, the competition's on, isn't it? Like, the competition's totally on.
You know, it's great. I mean, the competition on, in it. Likes, the competition's totally on.
And they showed us that tonight, so, you know, we've got a bit of work to do, which is okay. You know, we'll review it properly, be honest with it. You know, there's a couple of areas where we just probably didn't, you know.
And, they showed us that tonight, so, yeah. So we've got a bit of work to do, which is okay. You know, we'll review it properly, be honest with it, you know. Couple of areas where we just probably didn't, you know.
You know, we weren't far off, but when you're playing a team that was as hungry as they were tonight, then they made us pay.
We weren't far off, but. Chuckle, chuckle, when you're playing a team that was as hungry as they were tonight then. Muffle, muffle, they made us pay.
Right, well, there you have it. I'll just I can read out the transcript if you like, so you can all get it. They really were good, like really, really good. You know, it's great. I mean, the compo competition's on, and they showed us that tonight. So yeah, so we've got a bit of work to do, which is okay. You know, we'll review it properly, be honest with it. You know, couple of errors where we just probably didn't, you know. We weren't far off when we were playing at that team. That was as hungry as they was tonight. Then they made us pay. Sam, over to you.
I feel you've turned this week. One bad result and you've turned on him.
He's just got a headache.
A little harsh. But you know, what else? Other than not saying Dove dived, what more could he say? They did beat us. Where it mattered, they were first. They were first to everything, especially in the opening quarter. We were always chasing the game then.
Is this how we lose grand finals or these big matches, though?
Yes.
Where a team is obviously stronger.
Dennis,
Dennis.
You hold that thought.
Oh, okay. Oh, obviously, said something. Yeah.
Write so, that down, what? Write it down.
Yeah. Okay. So, Rob, are you agreeing with what Sam?
I've got a headache. This is too much tonight. This is all we're going too in depth. We're normally just surface deep. We move on and have a laugh. I can't do this.
I've noticed. What have you got in your hand? What's that bit of paper?
Oh, it's for the guttering. We've got a leak on the roof. The gutters are full of leaves. I've got to ring him in a bit.
Oh, God. Has anybody managed to interpret what he was getting at then? What was he saying?
I think the issue was Jenna Brooks wasn't there.
She was doing the cricket.
There you go. There you see, they've moved her on. Yeah. They're worried about the relationship, so to send Jenna to the cricket.
Don't make me laugh when I've got a drink in my mouth.
Dear. Now, the referee. Let's have a chat about the referee. Come on, let's bring him up. So he missed a little knock-on leading up to their first try. Now, admittedly, I think we did put a hand in and pull it out, but it should have been a penalty. Should have been a penalty to Hull KR. He missed that. In the second half, Lindop got smashed to the ground by Hicku right in front of the touch judge. He'd been tackled, and then he picked him up and smashed his head into the ground. Nothing at all. So I just thought he lost a bit of control of the game. Did the referee didn't think he was as good as the one we had the week before. So there we go. Didn't we have about 12 minutes over one of the try decisions? And I said I turned it off. Do you remember? But he was looking for the 27th the available time. Oh, that's it. Oh my God.
Jesus. Yeah, don't have to. Look, Sam Burgess has bought Bateman in. I want to talk about what's the point. Anybody got anything on that?
Oh God, you've gone early on that.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought I might as well. Yeah, because what is the point? You brought him in, and what is he good at? Tell me.
He does everything. No.
He does everything at a high quality. Looking round and looking for any kind of indication that could give us anything at all on Bateman. Here we go. Sam's lining up. Here he comes.
He makes post-contact meters. Right. He's a naughty little bugger. He's got a high tackle percentage. And he has won, albeit 3 or 4 years ago now, he has won the grand final over here and would rarely take a step backwards. He is the exact type of player you want in the trenches with you on your side, not on the opposition's.
Yeah, but we couldn't get any stats for him.
I don't know if I'd want him in the trenches with me because he looks like the kind of bloke who wouldn't know how to sort of load his pistol properly and he might shoot in the leg. Not sure, really. You know, I want someone who's competent and can read the instruction manual before they're in the trenches next to me.
So are we actually calling him Baldrick then? Now? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, dear. This has got very sharp. I mean, we've had one loss and we've gone at them. This is unbelievable. I'm glad I've sat on the fence.
Yeah. So what's happened to Lindop and Bateman's stats? That's what I want to know. That's the biggest thing.
Well, Aaron doesn't have any stats because he's joined late, hasn't he? And Bateman also has joined late. So anyone who joins after the deadline in Super League, for some reason, they can't work out their stats on the Super League website. So right. That's what happens.
Okay.
So
I think it's really poor. I think it's really poor with Lindop. He's played... Well, he played in the Catalans game, didn't he? He made his debut. Yeah. It was really early in the season.
Yeah.
So I think it's really poor.
But it's not. Come on. It's that's not like Super League to do something like that, is it? They're normally spot on every week.
I'm still laughing at the fact that Sam was going to use umpteen again and he stopped himself.
Where's IMG?
Ooh, it's based near you now.
They got 12 years of this.
Well.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine the night out they had after they signed that contract? Could you just that they were absolutely pissing their sides when they went to the pub afterwards?
We should have asked Ralph Rimmer. When is he coming on?
It's up to Sam now. So we've moved on.
Is it?
Let's move on to the league table and the results. Wigan 28, Huddersfield 14, Castleford 10, Lee 20, Hull 6, Saints 46. Salford 22, Leeds 16, and London 10, London 12, Catalans 10. Leaves the top six like this. Hull KR on top on 30, Wigan in second on 30, played one game less. Wyatt in third on 28, Salford in fourth on 26, Saints in fifth on 24, and Catalans in sixth on 24 also. And that is the top six for the playoffs.
And another little note. It's an addition. This evening, Wigan have played Lee at home, and with about five minutes left before we started recording, Wigan were 28-6 ahead. So Wigan 2 points better off.
Right. Oh, well, they've caught up on that fixture.
2 points clear now.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Wigan on 32. Right. Mm. Okay. So at the moment, we've got Catalans at home. Is that the way it works in the playoffs?
Oh, I see.
Yes. At the moment, that's exactly what it'd be. Hull KR and Wigan would have a week off, and we'd be at home to Catalans.
Catalans with a big pack. And I see the missing links come out of retirement. He's playing at fullback again now. So yeah.
The Catalans' big pack weren't big enough to beat London. The weekend.
They had the week off, didn't they? They'd probably taken in a bit of theatre in the V&A and they didn't bother about the game. So that's what rugby league players do.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
Okay, right. So without knowing it, you've said, Rob, if it was playoffs, now it'd be Wire against Catalans. And Dennis, you said 2 or 3 minutes ago, I started to raise a question really based on how do we go in the big games?
Yes.
I can tell you.
Ah, good.
Yeah. Okay.
It's almost like this podcast is thrown together, isn't it?
Well, couldn't believe my luck the way the conversation was going then. I was looking back at the last 3 weeks and we genuinely feel a bit down because of the performance on Friday. But before the game away to St Helens, if I'd have said the next three games, St Helens away, Wigan away, Hull KR at home, we'll win two, we'll lose one, would you be happy with that? You'd probably say, yeah, that'd be a reasonable result. It's just the way it fell that we came away. Yeah. But when we come to the end of the season, If we were to finish in the top two, we only have to play two games to win the title. If we finish third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, we have to play three games. So we could be faced with three big games in a row. How often do we win three big games in a row? And it depends what you call a big game, I suppose, as well.
Challenge Cup is that big game? You have to
Right. You
win
don't
those
play them in a
games,
row, though, do you?
Don't
Don't you?
but
No. Super League
what
games in
I've
between,
done,
you fucking idiot.
That's
I've
what I'm
gone
saying.
back to, when Tony Smith took over 2009, so it'll be 15 years, and
Jesus,
I've looked
you've had
at
a week and a
depressing
half, haven't
week.
you?
I
God.
have, and I've looked at every semi-final and final we've played. So semi-finals of the Challenge Cup, final of the Challenge Cup, playoff games, playoff elimination
My
games,
head
and playoff
hurts.
finals. And I can tell you that against the current top six, so the other five in the top six,
You've done a
and I've then
spreadsheet for
in,
this. This is
yeah,
like
and
that
then
Alan Partridge sketch of the day to day. He's trying to explain the World Cup groups.
yeah. And then I've included Leeds Rhinos who might get into it if Saints and Catalans continue to play badly. But against those teams, we've played 24 times. We've won 10. We've lost 14. So we've won 41% of those games. But then I've done the Sam Sankey factor because against some teams, we've never won. We've lost twice against Hull KR. We've never beat Salford in a playoff game in that period.
Sam,
We've
stop,
not.
stop, stop. All the listeners have gone now.
That's
We've
okay.
successfully got rid of them all.
Here's the point.
Go
I'm telling you, in one of
Yes.
these games, we have a 31% chance of winning the game. But
Okay.
then to win two games in a row, 9.925,
Oh,
and to win three
you
games in
don't
a
halve the
row,
31 when you go to two games.
no. You
Talk me
multiply
through
it.
that equation. How do you
Um,
do
no,
that?
no,
Because
no, you can do that another time. Just fucking give
it's
the last
conditional
one.
on winning the first one. So if it's conditional on winning the
Ah, so it's like
first,
some
you
kind of
don't
ca
win.
caveat sum put in a bracket, is there in the Excel sheet?
Exactly.
Wow.
So the caveat of winning three games in a row gives us a
Oh,
3.125%
fucking hell. We're coming
chance
back to do the
of
podcast
winning
next
the
year
grand
again.
final.
Jesus. Thought that was it this
However,
year.
do you want the good news? The
Is
good
it, hold
news?
on, that stat there, Sam, is that pi?
Yeah.
3.125.
Not
Oh,
quite.
bollocks. I was going to say we could go full circle here and actually,
Oh,
we
very
get it.
good.
Yeah,
Very good.
kind of.
Just
That's it.
briefly, though, if we were to play Saints, Leeds, and Catalans in any order, we've got an 18% chance of winning that. But if we play Wigan, Salford, and Hull KR, we've only got a 0.41% chance of winning that going on the last 15 years of
Jesus.
history.
What the fuck? It sounds like we ain't got a fucking chance in
What's
any
that?
of
What
them
number was that again,
percentages.
Sam? So I don't have to listen back to it when I record it and put it out as the title. What was it? 0 point what?
0.41%
0 point
chance
what? Right.
if we play
Okay.
Wigan, Salford, and Hull
It's
KR
all right.
in
That's
the
the
playoffs.
title of the podcast. That should put everyone in a good mood on Wednesday morning. Excellent.
Keep going because don't forget, I've got tackle bags coming up.
Welcome to a natural water spring, infused with history. A water that began 5,000 years ago, beneath the Halliwell Jones. Gradually transformed by the rich minerals absorbed on its path, and a toxic pipe linked back to Wilder's pool. With an abundance of carbon dioxide, providing acidity that provides an experience greater than any grapevine. Bottled directly from the source, and not from the overflowing drains on the Tesco car park. Today's water sources. Josh. Air pockets in the water pipes. Yes, it's time for a full bathroom renovation.
Oh, the neural offense just not shifting it this morning.
Oh, God.
Where am I?
On the podcast.
What do you want?
Innovation.
Whose side are you on?
Rugby league.
You won't get it.
By hook or by crook, we will.
Who are you?
I am number two.
Who is number one?
You are Tackle Bag's number one.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Yes, it's Tackle Bag 7.0. And with the recent relaxing of the axilla of evil, look it up, biological term, ruining the game, I'm back looking at innovating the game of rugby league. So you'd all be glad to hear. With the advanced thinking and
before
theory...
he goes on about this, you know what really pisses me off, Sam, right? When you're on WhatsApp and you find some innovation that it somewhere in sport they've come up with, and straight away he just randomly just sends a message and says, talk about episode 7. Like, he does it every fucking week.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Rock climbing on the Olympics. Tackerbank, episode 12. He does it all the time.
Well, with my advanced thinking and theory making the game more appealing, I do tend to come up with a lot of ideas that are obviously tackle bag ideas. And the team here are always welcome to support me on this, and they do. And may I just thank everyone for the hundreds of letters that I've had in support. And if anyone would like to send in their ideas, then message Rob at the WhatBevin X account, and he'll gladly enter them into the WhatBevin server in the cloud. So that'll be good. Happy to do that, aren't you, Rob?
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, no problem.
Just tell me which cloud it is, won't you?
Yeah. Big fucking rain cloud.
This week, I'm reflecting after watching the 100 cricket game. I don't know if anybody's been...
Jenna Brooks there?
Yeah, she was. That's what she was doing. That's why I know she was doing the cricket. Do you not like the 100, Sam? Is it not you?
Not cricket. It's just not cricket.
I went
2 weeks ago for my first match. I won't be going back in a hurry.
What is it?
Well,
come on, change my mind, Dennis. Change my mind.
Okay. I'll give it a go. Well, there's innovation in the 100, and that really could add value to rugby league. Look how popular the 100 is at the moment. Well, this week's tackle bag idea is the strategic effect extra. So what that is, it's a strategic effect extra timeout that they have in the 100. They have a strategic timeout, but we're going to introduce into rugby league this strategic effect extra timeout, which is essentially the introduction of a strategic timeout, as they do in the 100, for each team.
No one's listening.
You're in a game, and this is activated by the coach. So here you go. Right. So now, as a coach of
isn't this like what they do in the NFL when they take a timeout?
Yeah. They have it in a couple of sports over in America and stuff.
Just let him get on with it.
Yeah. So as a coach, you've obviously got these critical times during the game. You know, it might be a yellow card or a red card and you're playing with a man down. It might be the momentum of the game and it might be because of injuries. So, you know, what it does, it gives the coach an opportunity to address the team and actually change a couple of things around. So I've had a thought about what would be useful for a coach during a game. Now, the strategic effect extra timeout is can only be activated when there is a video ref decision.
Because fucking hell, we'll have loads of time then, won't we?
Exactly, because it's going to be three minutes.
We're going to call it a sex toe.
We're getting there, Sam. You're already sexing this one up. Look, it could only be activated during a video ref decision because we want to obviously fill in that time. It would be a minimum, a maximum of 3 minutes. No, minimum of 3 minutes. But if the video ref decision goes on for 10, you get 10 minutes to have a chat with your team and coach it while they're making their decision. They will be able to go to the team and have that turbo talk. I'll call it a turbo talk as well, just to sort of, you know, give it up a bit. Right, so that's one element. The second element of this strategic effect extra timeout is the activation of the 18th man. So here, they're allowed to then swap a player out, bring in the 18th man for the remainder of the game. So we might as well make use of that 18th man, because the player who gives off is, he should be fit enough if he has to come back, but you get an extra boost of performance by bringing that player in. And then the extra bit of this strategic timeout, go on Rob, I've got your ear now, because the fans need to be drawn into the game as well, is that in that 3 minutes, a fan poll that you can vote yes or no on if you want to replace the referee as well and have the substitute referee come on because you're sick of his performance. So I think that really, that interaction with the crowd and gets them involved with it. So yes, this is the sex timeout effect thing to make the game sexy again. Is where I'm going there. So if everybody thinks this is a great idea, of course, you just send us a letter
to Dennis.
And then I will contact the powers that be. Actually, who are the powers that be now? Because are they in...
No idea.
Who's running this thing?
Predictions.
Afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict. First up, a trip to the capital to play London this Sunday at 3 p.m. Then it's the Magic Weekend at Elland Road in Leeds to play Leeds. Wise game is on the Saturday, the third and last match of the day at 7:30 p.m. Here's Hal with his two predictions.
Hello, it's Hal here, coming to you from Silicon Valley, California. Yes, I too have gone on holiday, and I've woken up next to a fax machine. It looked okay in the dimly lit wine bar last night after 8 pints of printer toner. But this morning, she looks like a bag of spanners. Right then. On to two predictions. Against London. Wire will score 75% of the points. And, in the Magic Weekend against Leeds. Wire will retain 64% of the points. Bye for now, and I hope you got my postcard.
Well, I mean, due to the terms and conditions last week, Sam managed to pick up a point. Even though he was about 300% off, he was the closest. So, not complaining about it this week, is he? Eh? Not complaining about it this week.
I've been telling you that's not right for ages, but you won't have it, so I've just left it and fully justified in my decision to leave it in.
Yeah. Well, Hal's gone for London to lose. Wire will win by 75% of the points. And then Leeds at the Magic Weekend, Wire will win by 64% of the points. So you're up first, Sam. Give us both your predictions.
I'd forgotten all about this as well. I read that I was up first and forgot. Warrington will win both. Ooh. 80%.
Wow.
80% London, 56% against Leeds.
Wow, so close, very close. I mean, can you have a 56%? What score does it... What score... Can you work out what score it needs to be 56%?
Oh, God, let's not do that. Jesus.
I think it has to be 56-44, doesn't it? I think
Can you divide both? 28-22.
Excellent. Well done, Sam.
Hey, there you go. Oh, gosh.
It's lucky. Dennis, now you're just in the lead. by one point in the prediction table.
I have to say, I was around about the 8% mark, but since doing this podcast, I'm more positive this evening. I'm going to increase it to 86% for London.
I can't do this so much longer. I can't do this. It's not good for
and Leeds. I mean, I'm positive again. I'm going to go 90% against Leeds.
90? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Real bounce back.
Right.
Come on, Rob.
London away. We're going to lose.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're going to score 40% of the points. Okay.
Boo.
Leeds. We're going to lose.
Ooh.
40. I've got to catch up. So anyway, I can do this now. 40% of the points as well. That's what I'll go for.
Have you got any belief in that?
No. I've got no belief at all since I found out that we've got 0.41% chance of winning the competition.
But you, anyway, without trying to sort of get to the top of this bloody leaderboard thing, you really think that we won't win one of those two games?
I think we're going into a little bit of a slide now. I think this could I do. Yeah.
Is that Burgess Effect Needle dropping?
That's it from the podcast. So after Sam dusts off his passport, we'll be back micropodding soon. So until then, it's an escape to the sun from Sam.
All the best.
A staying at home for now from Dennis.
We're seeing you.
And I really need to book another holiday from me. You've been listening to What? With Brian Bevan says. Can't keep doing this, lads. It's not good for me, hell. And he's fucking going on at Tackle Bags about 12 hours these days.
You love it.